Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. It's cold out there. Today on the radio show, we are going to have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And I got a million things I have to talk to Chris Harrington about. Let's see. We got clarification on the Chris Paul situation. We'll talk to him about that. We have a developing story in Milwaukee where Giannis was supposedly maybe thinking about asking out, and then he gets hurt. On top of it, we had the story with Ja Morant about Ja Morant and other troubled point guards across the league, and some unkind things that some executives anonymously had to say about Ja and his negative value. So we'll talk to him about that. We never got to the. His piece on what's happening in the film across Memphis and film openings across Memphis. And we had the sad news that Steve Cropper died. Steve Cropper, truly great Memphis musician, one of the great guitar players who's ever lived, and critical to Stax in its heyday, passed away yesterday in Nashville, I believe at the age of 84. So we'll talk to him about Steve Cropper as well. So Chris Harrington got a lot of things to talk to Chris about. And then we're going to play Writer Than Right Trivia. Jeffrey, we're winding down the year. How many more Writer Than Right Trivias we got? Probably this week.
So we will obviously have this week,
mm-hmm.
next week, and yeah. the next week. Then
and
we will
that's
have,
it?
Then we'll have Christmas. Christmas and New Year's. So we have three left in 2025.
Three more in 2025. Do you play to the echo of the whistle?
Of course, Jeff. We always play to the echo of the whistle.
You play to the echo of the whistle. And so we'll be playing Writer Than Right Trivia. Kevin Cerita will join us. What fabulous prize are we giving away today?
Jeff, we've got tickets to the Holiday Wonders at the Garden, a fantastic light exhibition, great family fun thing. I'm trying to actually get tickets to get take my family out there.
So I was going to ask, what are there Christmas extravaganzas across the city that you typically take in that are important to you?
So obviously I grew up with Starry Nights.
Starry Nights is the one out of Shelby Farms. I'll be honest. I love Shelby Farms. I think Shelby Farms, this is going to, you can tell. You can just
get
tell
to the butt.
I think it is truly, there few things make me happier in Memphis than walking around Hyde Lake and seeing the people all out there. I mean, it truly is. People talk about the diversity at a Grizzlies game or whatever, but like you walk around Hyde Lake and it's fantastic. The range of ages and races and sizes and it's just unbelievable. And then the dog park is truly, I think it's the greatest dog park in the world. I can't imagine a better dog park than the dog park they have out there. It is, and then the running trails and everything else. We talked about the cross country meets they have there. So it is an unbelievable asset that we have as a community. Staronates is just okay. And the truth of the matter is the a few times I've been, you're just sitting in your car and it pokes along that I'm just. Now, maybe I've gone the wrong time. Starry Nights has not blown me away. People love it. And I was out there the other day, and I saw them, you know, all the structures were up. And I was, guys, this is cool. So maybe this is a little bit like Pete and Sam's. You know, Pete and Sam's is a place that I used to come on the radio and say, and I'm surprised you all didn't run me out of town, that I didn't get it. And I finally went back for maybe the third time. And I had a really nice dinner.
Yeah, veal parmesan helps.
I had the veal parmesan. I literally sat by myself at the bar. I just was going to give it another shot, and I had a lovely, really nice dinner. And so maybe it's a Starry Nights thing again. Well, what were you going to say about Starry Nights?
No, so I do think I haven't been in a while, and honestly, part of it was like, hey, I went as a kid, and if you just put some like lights in front of me, like I'm going to think it's great,
right?
But my wife definitely had the same experience you did. So we never, like when we were dating or even like when we didn't have kids, we didn't go. She's also a bigger Zoo Lights fan.
Zoo Lights?
Yeah.
Zoo Lights.
So she wants to do that, and she's been very adamant about wanting to do the Holiday Wonders as well.
All right. So we are going to be giving away how many tickets to Holiday Wonders?
I believe it's two, Jeff.
Tannengarten. Two tickets to that one.
Maybe four.
By the way, it appears that the Christmas toy drive is still going on, right?
Indeed. Today and tomorrow.
Yesterday. Yesterday's too late. Can't get there yesterday any longer. But today and tomorrow from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's at the Regalia Shopping Center. That's out there where O'Call is and Bog and Barley and all of that. And you bring a toy. And it's one of they said this yesterday. One of the great things about giving toys at Christmas is you know 100% of that toy is going to go to a kid and some kid who needs a toy. It's just like it is the purest gift ever. The purest gift you can give. You're giving toys at Christmas that you know will be opened up by some kid who's going to be delighted. And so 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Today at Regalia Shopping Center, we'll do that as well. So that's the lineup for today. We got Chris Harrington. We got Writer Then Write Trivia. The first hour is us. And, you know, we'll get to the Memphis coaching situation. I have more thoughts on that. And maybe even a little bit of insight I can shed there, and all kinds of other things we have to get to. Really entertaining NFL game tonight, don't you agree?
I mean, Jeff, many have to ask.
Many,
is this a playoff game?
Is this a playoff game? I think you, well, no, but you could argue effectively a playoff game,
play out game,
and fun game and fun teams. I mean, you have to say they're both fun teams,
and additionally. Because both these teams played on Thanksgiving, full rest. We don't get the Thursday right. night where it's like, who the heck? Like, is everyone ready? Like,
ready to go. But I want to start with talking about the basketball Tigers yesterday. Two things about that. First of all, they got the victory, 86-70. There were a bunch of subplots to this one. No Aaron Bradshaw. Bradshaw didn't play. And Silla played for 2 minutes. And, of course,
might have been a tell, you think?
Ashton Hardaway was out with an injury. Curtis Givens was out with an injury. But Penny afterwards said, if guys aren't on the floor, that means they aren't giving everything. So it feels like we reached a moment there with Aaron Bradshaw, doesn't it?
Well, I was going to ask, does that include Ashton? Who are we saying?
No, they were out with injuries.
Injuries, okay.
They were out with injuries. But the two who did not play, who were not injured, Bradshaw and Silla, but Bradshaw in particular, not a moment. Coach's decision. What a waste of money that appears to have been.
Yeah, and maybe you're hoping, hey,
light a fire.
Correct. Get the message received. But
what's weird is Penny also said that the shorter rotation made it easier and simpler for him. Like we say that all the time. Like the rotations are preposterous and have been, except for those years where there's no choice.
Right.
Right. And so whatever they came out last.
Can I also
night.
Add one other factor?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I think he does better with rotations when there's not a Hardaway on the team.
That's possible too. That's possible too. There was no Hardaway on the team last night. No Hardaway available last night. Anyway, they came out, shot the hell out of the ball.
Yeah, the first half was like was like practice.
They shot 59%, 53% from three in the first half. They get out to the 10-0 start. They're up by 25 at one point, by 20 at the half, and that was that. So nice that they come out. There's no suspense. New Orleans cut it down to 13, I think it was, but there was never any doubt in this one. Doug McDaniel, 11-10. You had Majak, seems like he's the big, 13-6. Thedford was tremendous, and then he gets hurt, the knee again. He hobbles off, and so that was tough. Quante Berry with 19, he was a nifty 7 of 8 from the field. And so there you go. It's a win. It's a win. It's a win. And wins are good. They obviously have the four games that will sort of define whether they have any chance at an at-large coming up with games against Baylor and what is it?
Louisville. So Baylor on Saturday.
Baylor on Saturday.
At Louisville following Saturday.
Then Vandy, then State.
Yeah.
Vandy looks great. They beat SMU last night. They beat the hell out of everybody, basically.
I think Vandy now would be the number one net team.
Arkansas loses to beats Louisville, but that game was hellacious and fun, back and forth. And,
that looks like a different sport.
That's the thing.
I had those on at the same time. I was like, ooh, these are not the same.
I think we're going to get to that here in a moment. I was just looking at a mock draft, and two Baylor players are in the first round.
Oh, that's good.
How many of those games... I'm going to stipulate that they lose only two conference games, okay? Which I don't believe they will, by the way. I believe they will lose more than two conference games. But let's just stipulate a very successful conference season. They slip up twice, right? How many of these four do they have to win in order to put themselves in position for an at-large?
My gut says two. But you might be in the situation where you need three. I mean, obviously, a lot's got to play out with what everybody else.
Yeah, of course.
Do we have a soft bubble? Do we have a hard bubble? Medium?
But here's the bigger problem. Here is the bigger problem, and this is what I'd like to talk about. Is Memphis Tiger basketball, as we have known it and loved it over the decades, is it dead? And I say that because there was nobody there last night. It was like truly shoot a cannon off. It was dozens of people there last night. And so even as I talk about this game, the details of the game, you're like, are you talking about a game that was attended by 1,000 people? You know, whatever. And so like this has been the Memphis sports franchise since the 70s. So more than 50 years, it has been the Memphis sports franchise. And look at it now. Look at it now. And I have heard, like, we can go on and on and on about the reasons why people don't show up. Here, I'll tick some off. It's too expensive. The concessions are too high. People grow up now not needing to go to games. The new generation just doesn't go to games. It's more comfortable to watch at home, or you can watch multiple games at home. People don't want to go downtown, whatever else. But here's the truth. For almost all of those reasons, not the last one, but the people like to watch on TV, they're spoiled, it's too expensive, concessions are too much, all those things that you hear, those are also true at Kansas, they're also true at Tennessee, they're also true at Ole Miss, they're also true wherever you look up and you see big crowds and exuberant crowds of people gathering to watch basketball. Is it tougher in this day and age to get people out to watch? 100%. I do agree with that. It's why stadiums now are being built smaller, fundamentally, right? It's why stadiums are being built smaller. And so that is all true. But that does not explain this. That does not explain this. And honestly, the downtown stuff doesn't explain this either. What explains this, I am convinced that the problem is this. We got to add other things. Other things I'll add in before I get to what I think the problem is. We don't know the players. They don't stay for 4 years. They names on jerseys, NIL, all of that. Also true at all these other places. So the problem is this. Memphis started falling in love with Memphis basketball. Hell, I say five decades. It's from the 60s. It's when Memphis went to the NIT championship. Way back when is when Memphis started to fall in love with Memphis basketball. And then it renewed its love affair under Gene Bartow and under Dana Kirk and when Penny was here and under Calipari. And what were they in love with? What were we in love with? We were in love with a program that competed nationally. We were in love with a program that was relevant nationally. It was a, oh my God, from this town in Memphis, Tennessee, there comes this program that goes to New York for the NIT and beats the hell out of people. Or this team that a collection of Memphis kids from Orange Mound, that they go up and they beat the hell out of people. Dana Kirk and his high-flying, largely Memphis-based players, they beat the hell out. These were all nationally relevant teams that you fell in love with. That's what people fell in love with. They fell in love with a program that was consistently a top 20 program in the country, a top 25 program in the country, but was often a top 10, top 5 program in the country. It was when you were ticking off the powers. Like we talk now about Louisville and Alabama and you pick it, pick the teams. There was Memphis right in there. That's what you fell in love with. You didn't fall in love with a mid-major program playing New Orleans that looks like, as you just said, a different brand of basketball. You fell in love with what it looked like last night when Arkansas was playing Louisville. That's what you fell in love with. National commentators talking about your basketball team. Going out there, no, you never won at all. But that was the franchise. It wasn't at a time when Memphis had minor league franchise after minor league franchise after minor league franchise after minor league franchise in these other sports. There was one equivalent in its sport, in its context. It was a major league franchise. And it is no longer. John and I were trying to do the math on this. How old would you have to? You have to be at least 25 or older to remember the Tigers going to the second weekend of the tournament. Right? Don't you think that's
so true? The 09 tournament would be 16 years ago. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And really start paying attention when you're eight, let's say, right?
Yeah.
So whatever. If you are 23 or under, you have literally it's been more than two.
Does Peter remember it?
My kids are a perfect point. Do they remember it? No, my kids are 27, 25, and 23. Okay, I'm guessing, but somewhere in
close
there.
Close enough.
Right? None of them ever have any, like, they're Grizzly fans. And by the way, it's not just because they're Grizzly fans because the Grizzlies were here.
So their friends were.
It's because the Tigers sucked.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like LA Grizzly fans because the Grizzlies were here and the Grizzlies ruined everything. No, if the Tigers were still the Tigers of John Calipari or Dana Kirk or Gene Bartow or whatever, then that would be an electric thing that you would be paying attention to. That's what they fell in love with. They didn't fall in love with what we saw last night. And honestly, they didn't like as good as last year was and whatever else. They didn't fall in love with teams that squeak into the NCAA tournament. That's not what Memphis basketball has ever been. So don't blame the fans. I can't believe we have terrible fans. They don't come out. No, the fans all those blue hairs who we now lament have died or gone away or moved to Florida, whatever else, they fell in love with this unbelievably riveting product. That was, you would go to the Mid-South Coliseum and you would see one of the best basketball programs in the country night in and night out. And yes, then if they were playing a crappy team, listen, if Memphis had Arkansas's roster, let's just say, right, and they were playing New Orleans last night, and that's what were happening, Memphis still had, then there would have been 8,000 people there last night. Memphis doesn't. And so the question is Memphis basketball dead as we know it? And don't just tell me everything. Tennessee basketball isn't dead as we know it. Doesn't have to be. Like, even though it's a new era, an NIL era, everything else, it doesn't have to be. There are places where it matters. But I don't know that it can matter. I don't think it will matter in Memphis again like it did unless Memphis was as good as it once was. And can it ever be? Can it ever be? And if so, here's the question. If you are the athletic director at the University of Memphis, and I mean, honestly, this also gets into a question about Penny. There is no question that if anyone other than Penny were the coach and you had a team that was off to this kind of start and where no one went to the games, like when no one went to Tubby's games, they were like, oh my God, look what Tubby's done to the program. We got to fire him. That's what they would say. My God, Tubby's running this program into the ground.
He was also losing, though.
Yeah, Memphis is kind of losing this year, too. Yeah, I know. Went to the tournament last year.
Right.
Under Larry Finch, they fired him the year after he went to the tournament. But there were lots of complications, as you said before. My point is that I do think a separate conversation here or part of this conversation will ultimately be, do people have – it's funny. I got such grief once upon a time for asking the question of Penny, have you lost faith that you can get this done? I think the community right now has lost faith that Penny can get this done. I think that's partly what you're seeing. So whether Penny can be part of if this program can be resurrected and turned into something like it once was, it's a separate question as to whether Penny can be the person who does that, right? That's a separate question. But if you are the AD and you're looking at this and you're also deciding where to put resources, what do you do? Are you just content? Well,
this was the fundamental question that I was going to ask. What is the realistic expectation for the program if your number one goal is get to a better league, everybody's focused on football and trying to get football right.
Like, and then that means that you're pouring more money into football. It means you're pouring less money into basketball. And it means you're going to suck. And it means you're going to have crowds like last night. That's it. That means basically you're saying, unless you think there's just, what if Penny, let's say this year doesn't go well. And what if Penny said, you know what, I'm going to rededicate myself to the task. I'm going to shake the trees. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to glad hand. I'm Penny Hardaway. I can raise money, right? And Penny says, I'm going to raise money. I'm going to raise so we can spend $10 million. Like, I have to raise enough money so we can spend $10 million. Otherwise, we're not going to be competing here, right?
Yep.
And we're going to blow people away with our roster. We're going to get back to being Memphis basketball, where the roster itself out-talents you. That's how it honestly used to be. Like, people would say, 100%. With Calipari, they roll the ball out. Like, that wasn't ever true, but the implication was just had a hell of a lot of talent, too. So could either Penny do that or could another coach do that? Or is it structurally set up where, no, we're valuing football over basketball, so not only is it impossible for you to do that, we don't want you to do that because you would be drawing money from the same people who we need to be giving money to football.
It almost strikes me as a situation where you basically need one person to fund it and have one person go, this is just for basketball. Because the problem is when you start hitting up all these people,
you need Penny to find someone or someone to emerge who is going to fund this basketball program such that it is once again a top 20 program, or else Memphis basketball is dead. I really believe that. Do you not believe that?
Yes.
Dead, I don't mean dead. Like, whatever. It can be plucky and they can whatever. People are making jokes about it and moving into Elmer
in terms
Field
of being,
House, you know?
In terms of it being nationally relevant.
In terms of, and then, but it has to, my fundamental argument is that in order for it to be locally relevant, it has to be nationally relevant. Weirdly enough, that's not true for Memphis football. Memphis football is different because when people first fell in love with Memphis football, it was, hey, we just invented this football team. Look at our scrappy underdog football team. That's what it's always been. And the people who fell in love with Memphis football, you know what you're falling in love with? A scrappy underdog football team that has never had a chance to be nationally relevant. Honestly, more nationally relevant now than it ever has been because you have this access to the playoff, and you're falling in love with the experience of going to Tiger Lane and rooting for a football team, and it is a totally different thing. It was founded with different expectations. People who love it fell in love with different expectations. And so now, actually, where they are relative to where they have been historically, no, the schedule isn't as good, but the aspirations are as high or better than they have ever been for Memphis football. People, you can look, if Memphis hadn't freaking lost to, if Memphis had just beaten UAB and Tulane, UAB, which is a horrible football team, and Tulane, which you played at home, they would be in the conference championship game, and you would be seeing everyone talking about Memphis football nationally this year, which is that is better than it's ever been. And so Memphis football is in a totally different situation because it's actually, you know, relative to its history, kind of flourishing. Memphis basketball, relative to its history, is in a ditch. And I don't see how you get out of that. And you can say, listen, here's your $5 million or whatever it is for your roster, and we'll have 1,000 people in the stands. 4,000 people when Baylor plays.
I mean, I guess Saturday will be the test. I mean, if you can't get people on Saturday, because think about it. I mean, it's not a full college football, whatever. You know,
it is the SEC. You got a lot going on.
I mean, you got the SEC championship game,
SEC championship game, the marathon people can use. But again, I'm not blaming anybody in terms of the fans. The fans are fans. They go to see compelling product. And that is true. It's why right now you look up at Knoxville and you see season ticket waiting lists for football, massive crowds for basketball, massive crowds for baseball. It's because they're kicking ass. Now, they got all the money in the world with which to kick ass. It's much harder at Memphis to do that. But people go see a compelling product. No one is going to talk about concession. No one was talking about concession prices under Calipari. No one was talking about going downtown under Calipari. No one was talking about. And again, you don't have to be John Calipari, but you do. I really do believe that for Memphis basketball to be relevant in the city, it has to be relevant nationally. And it is not right now. And I think that's the problem. We'll take some calls. We'll take a break, take some calls on this. Do you agree or disagree? If you want to say there's some other issue, that's fine. If you think I'm misguided in my analyses, that's fine. We have other things to talk about as well. We're getting to the coaching search and everything else. 445-0929, 445-0929. Maybe you were there last night. How did it feel? It's the Jeff Calkins Show on a Thursday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams.
at least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. 445-0929. I'll just take some calls on this last night. If you were there last night, how to feel, but also if you have thoughts on what's going on here and whether Memphis basketball, is dead. Who do we got?
Jeff, we start with Alice in Germantown. Alice, you're on.
Hello, Alice.
Hey, Jeff. So we all know that NIL and transfer portal has hurt college athletics.
Yes.
It's probably hurt Memphis more than others because we're a smaller conference. We're not as well known, you know, that type thing. Nobody really in this conference is getting any national press or Memphis is probably the best of the best in that. Probably has the highest NIL. So that's not the problem. A lot of places that seem to be selling more tickets. You're talking about SEC teams. Most of those arenas are on campus. Makes it much easier for students to fill the place. There's no one answer to Memphis. I mean, I'm a former ticket holder. I go back to the Mid-South Coliseum.
You're a former ticket holder?
Former ticket holder.
So when did you give up?
Several years ago, had nothing to do with the team or the output. They were doing fine. Tickets were doing fine. It came down to that things changed downtown.
Yours is the downtown thing. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, mine's the downtown thing. But then you can sit at home and watch every game. And this generation of streamers.
That's all true, but it's also true in Tennessee where they pack them in. You know, like so there are places, it's true in Louisville where they still pack them in. That's a downtown stadium in Louisville. They still pack them in.
It's true in Arkansas, but I think that the on-campus arena helps.
It clearly helps. It clearly helps. It's no question it would help. A smaller rink would be. I appreciate the insight. Thanks, Alice. Thanks so much.
Because the Mid-South Coliseum felt like that, too.
Right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
445-0929, 445-0929. A lot of things there. I still believe that if they were a top 15 program in the country, you'd have big crowds. Like for all the other stuff, I think if they were nationally relevant, they would be locally relevant. But they have to be nationally relevant for them to be locally relevant. That is, and the reason that 25-year and unders don't watch them is because literally for as long as they have been alive, they have not been nationally relevant. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to our friend Tony in Bartlett. Tony, you're on.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, Jeff? But yeah, you have to admit now, they was nationally relevant last year, and it wasn't like they were packing the place out. But I think they do have a location problem and a convenience problem, along with not getting to know the team. I think it's more of a complex because, let's be honest, attendance is down really nationwide in college sports. But I think, I mean, you got a antisocial demographic or generation that's growing up that, you know, they more so are inclined by Twitter and things of that nature than they can. And it's so convenient to watch.
I agree with all that, but they do go to games at other places. Like, you know.
But here is unique because, like you said, I think the location is bad. I think it's bad for the Grizzlies. I think that both places need to move to some place that's more convenient to the people that's going to pay for tickets. All
right, Tony, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Appreciate the insight. No one's moving. no one's moving. What people need to do is embrace.
I do think
downtown. Would it be better? Yeah, sure, it'd be better. 100%. They play at the Yum Center in Louisville still, don't they?
They do. That is it's a very fair point. I think the bigger problem that I see is, like, particularly in early season games, a lot of times when you're looking at a lot of these arenas, like setting aside Tennessee, as you pointed out, but like a lot of these other programs that are kind of, you know, fringe tournament teams, like making the arena look good is all because of students. And with students.
But that's exactly it. You can't be a fringe tournament team.
Yeah. No.
I'm literally, this is my point.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm not, and again, Memphis attendance is fine relative to lots of places. I'm talking relative to Memphis.
Yeah.
Relative
absolutely.
To Memphis.
To the market you're
what
in.
What Memphis has been, it is not, that was not fine. And yeah, to Tony's point, they were nationally relevant last year. Yeah, kind of. Fringe. Like they had a great non-conference tournament run. There's no question that's true. The time you become nationally relevant as a college basketball program is when people pay attention in the tournament.
Yep.
And they haven't been to the second weekend in forever. So when Memphis was making hay last year in the fall, no one was paying attention. I mean, we were in Memphis, right? Whatever else. But then when people pay attention to basketball, Memphis isn't playing. That's just true. When people are paying attention to basketball, Memphis isn't playing. They're either not in the tournament or they're gone after the first game. Or maybe they very rarely make it to the second game. That's when all those blue hairs fell in love with the basketball program. It was in the NCAA tournament runs. You know, it was the little general. Like that, we know what it was, right? It was Derrick Rose turning into a monster. It was Larry Finch. It was helping, you know, it was going up against Bill Walton. Meet me in St. Louis. It was all that stuff. And we haven't had that stuff in decades now. Decades. What do we got?
Jeff, let's welcome Ethan. He's on Lamar Avenue right now.
Hey, Ethan.
Hey, Jeff. How are you doing?
Good.
Man, I think I tend to agree with you. You do have to have some sort of national relevance to be, at least in today's day and age, out there in Memphis. And getting people drawn in. For me, my biggest issue is we have so much roster turnover every year. It takes so long for me to get invested in this program.
It doesn't have to be a whole new team. You know, don't let people tell you that. It could be even if you had four players coming back who played, that would be meaningful, right?
I look back on the teams that I grew up watching in my mid-30s. You know, guys like. You know, the Derrick Rose teams, but my favorites are like Joey Dorsey, Antonio Anderson, guys like that who were here for 4 years. I got to watch, grow up with them, you know, and I don't feel that anymore. It's hard to get behind them when
yeah.
it's a new guy.
No, I agree. I agree. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
I do want to add.
Listen, I'm open to them being, I'm open to me being wrong, and of course I don't want them to be dead. It's just discouraging, and I think I have the answer. Be nationally relevant, and you will be locally relevant.
I do think it's important to note, I think Penny has set up the roster this year to where you might have some continuity, but it's like one of those situations.
Forward.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Thedford could be back.
Like, correct.
Thedford is a guy, God, I hope he's not, who you look at him and you think, oh, I could fall in love with that guy. You know, I'm already kind of.
Curtis could be here for a long time.
Curtis like, could be, Ashton, too. Like, I could fall in love with that guy. I think that's right. I think that would... That would go some way to repairing this. All right. Let's go on to move on to other matters. On
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in app only.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there.
So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On Memphis football, I believe the new coach will be introduced Monday.
Okay, announced when?
We'll find out who it is over the weekend.
Okay.
And we'll
can buy that.
And the press conference will be Monday.
Munn said he was kind of targeting Saturday as not an introduction day, but like as a day where like
yeah, you know, my understanding is that, just for example, Jerry Mack is not interviewed in person.
Yep.
And he's got a game Friday night, right?
Yes, he does.
So I can totally imagine that if he's the guy, that he could interview Saturday and actually be announced Saturday, right?
Yep.
Or it could leak Saturday.
They play Friday at 6 p.m. So, on the network of Stars, CBS Sports Network.
I said over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and then I suppose we could have a presser Sunday. It feels more likely Monday, right?
Yeah, usually
I think there will be a press conference for the new coach Monday.
And so you do think they will have a coach and introduce him with a press conference? You can do that?
Yeah, I think they will. I think they'll have a coach and introduce him with a press conference. And, you know, the names you hear are Jerry Mack, Ty Helton, and Charlie Huff. And then Buster Faulkner is the other name.
That's the other one I've heard.
Is that has emerged. He's at Georgia Tech. He's the OC at Georgia Tech. And of those four, I think Jerry Mack is the most likely. It is interesting. You dig into these people, right? I don't have a conviction about any of those four. Do you?
No, I actually think all four of those guys would be good hires.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. You dig into them. Tyson Helton, for example. If you go over to the what they say about him in Western Kentucky, you know what it sounds like?
Guy that has to reinvent himself every like.
No, it sounds like us talking about Ryan. People in Memphis talking about Ryan Silver
because he doesn't get over the hump.
Yeah, good guy. Boy, he has a high floor, low ceiling. Can't ever win the championship. It's unbelievable. Like, and then there's this back and forth. I can't believe you're complaining about a guy who wins 8 and 9 games every single year. He's actually got to the conference championship game. I think twice. Has he gotten to the conference championship game twice? But he's not a quote unquote dynamic guy. And that's the complaint about him is that, I can't win a championship. He's got a high floor, low ceiling.
Yeah, he's gotten to the championship game twice.
But he's gotten to the championship game twice.
I would also argue, I don't know if Western Kentucky is the best job.
No, I agree with that. To get to the championship game twice at Western Kentucky is tougher than to get to the championship game certainly once at Memphis.
Correct.
In the context of that conference. He could be great. It's just funny. Everyone has complaints about everyone. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Particularly if you stay there long enough, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I don't think people have any complaints about Jerry Mack because at Kennesaw State, because he's just got there and they turned it around and whatever. The complaints haven't settled in yet. Maybe on game day there's some complaints, right? Whatever. And then with Huff, the question is, why was Marshall willing to let him walk?
I guess, and
my understanding is he had a great last year at Marshall. Before then, look at his Marshall record.
Before then, I think they were kind of on the verge of firing him. And they didn't extend him. And then he had a great last year. And then he goes to Southern Miss. And he puts together a very good year this year, although I think they lost their last three. Well, again, kind of Ryan-ish there, you know?
Yeah, but look at what Southern has been.
No, they flipped it around completely. He elevated that program out of the freaking swamp.
They did limp home, but I mean, good God.
No. He elevated that program out of the mire. There's no question.
They were in the title race until like the last three. So 7-6 in year one.
This is at Marshall?
Correct. That was 7-5 regular season, lost the New Orleans Bowl. Then when they moved to the Sun Belt, he went 9-4.
That's
6-6. And then a Frisco Bowl loss of 6-7. And then his last year, 10-3, and he won the league.
I see. I guess it was the 6-whatever. It was the 6, and there was some dissatisfaction with him then. But then he had this massive last year, won the league, and then he bails and goes to Southern Miss, where he's done a miraculous job. My point is that
Marshall went 5-7 this year, by the way.
And Marshall went 5-7.
But my argument for him with Marshall is a weirdly underrated, inflated sense of self place. And maybe it's because and it obviously matters to them, but they think.
I think both those guys would be good. I think both those guys would be good. If I had, I think it is my best guess would be that it'll be Jerry Mack. What do you know about Faulkner?
So Buster is the offensive coordinator at Georgia Tech, and many people credit him. There's some people that are the Brent Key story is really the Buster Faulkner story because of what a good job he's done with going and getting Haynes King and how creative he's been with running an offense that
is a program that is it is.
Like he played at Valdosta State, so
former quarterback.
He's always been on the kind of trying to find what's new in scheme wise. He is definitely a scheme guy.
Sounds promising.
I'm the reason why I would like Buster is I think Buster would actually get back to the formula that I think had previously worked.
Right. The formula of hire an upcoming assistant.
An assistant, surround him with good people, and let him go and have his first job.
Memphis, meanwhile, on signing day, you can read Frank Bonner in the Daily Memphian, 15 prospects yesterday. I gotta say, it's kind of remarkable. I guess maybe it's not because the money. If you were a 3-star prospect, Frank did a nice story on one of them, and both of his parents went to the University of Memphis. I suspect a kid who does that has his head on straight. You know, that's a kid who probably knows, probably suspects that he's not going to be playing in the NFL, right? Probably says, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to get an education, and I can work with any coach. And I think, compared to the kids that go from 3 different prep schools and 4 different colleges,
right?
I think a kid like that, in some ways it was surprising to me. Why would 15 kids sign with the University of Memphis when they don't know who the coach is? But I think those are 15 kids who probably have the right perspective.
Well, and I do think NIL's a part of that.
And NIL's a part of it. They got a deal in front of them.
Yeah, and I also think we are seeing a situation where guys like that, if you go to Memphis and you play and you put up numbers, well, you're either going to have the opportunity to stay at Memphis or you're going to have the opportunity to go elsewhere and get paid much better.
There was other news. Jeff Brohm is staying at Louisville. So what's Penn State doing?
I have no idea. So either Penn
What a mess.
Either Penn State has operated very quietly with a lot of misdirection, or this thing really is the mess that it appears. I suppose if we find out on Sunday that Kalen DeBoer is going to Penn State,
then it all makes sense.
You have to evaluate
it differently. That would be very weird if then why would we have all this stuff with Stocky and with Jeff Brohm and whatever else? Why would you have?
I mean, in fairness, Alabama was going to hire Nick Saban. They panicked because they were going to have to wait, and they went and hired Rich Rodriguez for 2 days.
It is funny. In all of this, there have been this.
And, like, we don't know.
By the way, do we know that Juice is not going to?
Well, Lane has said now Juice is going to Baton Rouge.
Juice is going to Baton Rouge.
Which is tough because now he has to leave his actual owner.
Anything else strike you? Obviously, we had the news, Brian Hartline going to USF. That was universally applauded.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I was texting Gabe off the air, and I was like, that was one of those moves to me that signaled this is big time. Like, I understand this is not a sitting head coach, but this is a guy that was very much in line. Like, this is one of the top coordinator names. We saw, like Colin Klein. Colin Klein's getting his alma mater. We saw Will Stein take Kentucky. Like, Hartline taking USF to me was, like, a very direct signal that USF is still serious.
Yeah, the USF is absolutely in business. And then we mentioned it before, but we will mention it again. Tremendous football game tonight between Dallas and Detroit. Let's check the standings. Let's check this handy-duty standings here right now. So Dallas, 6-5-1. Do you think they could catch Philadelphia at 8-4?
All right, let me see. So I think they still have to play. No, they're done. So they split the season.
Seems right. Unlikely, right?
The Cowboys still have, or sorry, Philly has at the Chargers on Monday, Raiders at home, Commies at home, or I'm sorry, Commies on the road at the Bills, Commies. I think that's going to be very difficult.
The NFC is just wild. So, all right. I mean, it's just wild. The NFC West is still wide open, right?
Very much.
2-9-3s. But whoever isn't, is one. That's one wild card, right?
I mean, San Francisco's at 9-4.
Oh, my God. And San Francisco's at 9-4.
Like, right now, San Francisco's the 7.
So right now, it's Philadelphia in the East. It's Chicago in the North. It's Tampa, but barely, in the South.
I'm still fine with Tampa's schedules.
And we'll say it's the Rams in the West, okay?
Yep.
So then we got three wildcard teams we got to get to, right?
Yep.
So right now, it would be Seattle and San Francisco.
Seattle, Green Bay, San Francisco.
And Green Bay, right. And so Dallas has to catch the slow deer right now is Green Bay. Dallas and Detroit have to catch Green Bay. Detroit is 7-5. Green Bay is 8-3. I think you're right. It's a playoff game.
It very much feels
that. This is gonna eliminate the loser. I don't know what the playoff percentages will be after this, but this is gonna eliminate the loser. Don't you think?
I very much so. I was going to try to pull
up. And
even
the winner is...
Even the winner's still fighting. The
winner's got some serious work to do. And that leaves
out... Because Detroit also, even though Chicago's leading... Detroit lost both Packer games.
So right now, you have not making it. You've got a Dallas team that's incredibly interesting, right? You've got a Detroit team that has always been fun. You've got Carolina that has been plucky. And... That's it. Those three.
Yep.
Those three don't make it. In the AFC, you got New England very clearly, you know, in the East. Baltimore and Pittsburgh, you know, whatever. One will
make the playoffs and the other.
And one will miss the playoffs, probably.
That feels at this point.
Jacksonville and the Colts. Colts fading. Houston right there. And then in the AFC West, you got Denver making it. So right now, it would be, let's just say, Denver, Jacksonville, Baltimore, and New England, with the wild cards being, it's a Buffalo, the Colts, and the Chargers.
Yes.
That leaves out Kansas City.
Correct.
Leaves out Kansas City. It leaves out Houston. It leaves out Pittsburgh.
And I guess if we want to technically still say Miami, but
wild times. It's and then meantime in the Hall of Fame, did you see this?
Just so you know, I won my first Super Bowl from the last wild card spot.
Oh, there you go. I won my first Super Bowl. You can say first Super Bowl.
I have two.
Only If only. What it would be like.
Two Lombardis.
Meanwhile, we had the news that Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick have both
this was low-key one of my favorite stories yesterday.
To the final, have both advanced to the they are Hall of Fame finalists. What would be better than Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft, who loathe each other, both being inducted at the same time? Belichick, you would think, would be a shoo-in. This is his first year of eligibility. Whatever you think of what's happened since then, he is one of the greatest.
If he's not a first ballot Hall of Fame coach, who is?
Kraft has been lobbying and lobbying and lobbying and lobbying and lobbying to be in the Hall of Fame.
He had an entire documentary blaming Bill Belichick for right. everything.
So it may be, you would think Belichick would get in and Kraft may have to wait. Unless people just like the delicious idea of let's put them both in.
And if that's the case, the race for who Tom inducts would be
Oh, you want
amazing.
Tom to give the induction yes. speech for one of them.
If Jordan is really the PR mastermind that she believes, God. She needs to be on the horn with Brady's camp being like, how do we organize this?
If you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union is the place to look. I can say that because it is where we do our banking. Honestly, I started because I started doing these commercials. And what I said was, what I would consistently say was, as a credit union, you know, they don't have any stockholders. They don't have to, they can put every dime back into better service, better rates, better technology. I would say that over and over again. And as I said it, it began to dawn on me, you know what? They can actually do that. And that sounds great. So when Claire moved here, that's where she set up her account, and her sons have since. And we absolutely find it to be fabulous. The technology is great and the people are wonderful. We're walk into the bank kind of people occasionally, and they have a great, they have an office in Arlington, a branch in Arlington, and another in Bartlett. But you could just download the app, honestly. And by the way, during Christmas, with the Compass Black credit card, you open a Compass Black credit card and you can enjoy 3% cash back on every purchase. To learn more about Leaders or about that credit card, Compass Black credit card, go to leaderscu.com/ESPN. And going to take a break. Got a lot to talk to Chris Harrington about, and then we'll play Right or the Right Trivia. We'll do all that when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills. But you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.